Well, welcome to the EDF podcast series. Where are we at now, Sean? I want you to meet somebody, Sean Gransby. Am I saying it right, Sean?
Yes, you are, Sean Gransby.
And you're retired code enforcement?
I still work code enforcement for a couple towns, and I do some consultant work on the side for other municipalities and developers.
Ah, nice, nice. So Sean is involved in the newer project for EDF, and where exactly is the project at, Sean?
The project's in Mount Morris, and the project name is Morris Ridge.
Morris Ridge, and that's solar, obviously, right?
That is solar.
Do you know off the top of your head how many total acres this one is projected to be?
I believe it's right around 800 acres. I do know it's 177 megawatts.
Wow. Now, how about the landowners? Do you know how many are involved roughly, or we don't know that yet?
Roughly, it's probably five.
Oh, that's not too bad. To me, 800 acres sounds like it would be 800 people when you get to my part of New York.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's not bad at all. So, you're right there, your boots on the ground, right there in Morris Ridge, right?
I am, yes.
And, I mean, what's your role with EDF?
So I do some consultant work for EDF, and I just give them advice on the code and just keep that relationship going between the town and EDF.
How did they find you? That's interesting.
Well, they came here in 2018 and started looking at developing a project, and I was currently working for the town at that time, and then they reached out and they asked what the town code looked like, and here we are.
Oh, wow. And then you just, you, like me, you fell in love with EDF and everything they do. You know, it's really interesting, the whole process. If you listen to past podcasts that I've done, I mean, we do everything from beginning to end, from here, where they're talking to the landowners, all the way out to the batteries and how they're going to get rid of them 40 years from now. You know, it's amazing how these projects are put together with all that thought in mind. I don't know how old you are, Sean, but I remember back in our day, I don't think we thought ahead to next week, let alone 40 years in a few.
Oh, exactly. That is true.
So, I mean, what, you know, Haley's got a question here. What's the Morris Project being in your community mean to you?
It means growth.
That's a great point.
Just the amount of revenue that's coming into the municipality, not only to the town, but to the school, to the county, to the fire department. It's just growth in general.
And what have you seen so far?
For growth?
Yeah.
Well, the pilot hasn't started yet, or the host agreement. That starts when the project becomes operational. But that'll be, well, north of $250,000 for the community. So in relation, what is that in tax dollars? It's all going to the budget.
Wow.
But that host agreement's very important, and it's a lot of money. I make it equivalent to hundreds of new homes being built and to gain that kind of revenue.
Yeah.
But not having the burden of those homes, not having to take care of the roads and et cetera, et cetera.
That's something I don't think we ever really touched on in any of the podcasts. That's actually a great point.
But and it also it doesn't put a burden on the school. There's no children going to school here. We're not adding that burden to the school as well, but they do benefit.
Right. So the school actually gets something out of the deal, as if that 800 acres was a development.
Exactly.
With how many homes in it? Hundreds of homes. And within those hundreds, you know, at least probably half would have kids. And all those kids would need to go to school. So the EDF project's actually paying the same school taxes, only no kids.
Only no children.
Wow. I never thought of that. And, you know, one of the things that I learned in my brief little career here of 2 years, what about the transportation? I mean, getting the kids to and from school, that budget's got to be huge.
Oh, for sure.
And then you think about the transportation, the wear and tear on the road.
And it goes further than that. I mean, just the amount of staff alone. It's not just the teacher. It's the cafeteria lady.
Right.
And it's all the bus drivers and all that support, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's all things I never really, you know, I thought about how they pay into the school taxes, because we talked about that in the past, but I never really put the other side of it together, where they're paying school taxes, but no kids. I mean, that's almost a win-win, right?
That's how I look at it, and that's what I call positive growth.
And what else have you noticed? I mean, there's got to be some excitement.
Yeah, oh, there is. The local businesses now are thriving. There's all kinds of employees out here working. Right now they have 200 construction workers on site. You know, they're local to the local unions out of Monroe County, et cetera, et cetera. So they're supporting our local businesses, such as the restaurants and the gas stations and all that. So you're starting to see all that thrive as well.
Wow. And I mean, that's all. I mean, you kind of put that together too, right?
We tried. We wanted to make sure there was as much local as possible to benefit as much as possible.
So, you know, another Haley question here. What would you say to other communities or areas that are considering putting a solar project in their community at this point?
What I would say is the amount of growth is amazing to the community, the benefits in tax revenue, but a lot of people don't understand that special use taxes are not exempt from anything. So the fire departments make out wonderful as well, because that's a special district.
Right.
A use district. So for an example, say I'm paying 50 cents a thousand for my fire district tax on my assessed value of my home.
Okay.
Now the solar site, say the assessed value on that, I'm just using a round number, say it's $100 million. Well, they now got to pay that special district tax.
Wow.
So now my 50 cents per thousand might go to 25 cents a thousand.
Wow.
Because now into that budget as well. And, you know, say the fire department budget, now they have some room to maybe go up and supply some other things they needed for years and years. You know, it's just another revenue source all the way around.
And how about, I guess, you know, there's always a downside. Have you run across any?
Any emergencies with the
no, just a downside, you know. But yeah, of course you get pushback. Certain people are just certain people.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a downside to everything, but yeah. You know, some people don't like it because of a visual impact.
I think they're beautiful. I think they look pretty cool.
You know how I look at it? I got one right down the road from me. It's not on my property, but I could see it from my front porch.
Yeah.
I look at it as I'm never going to have a neighbor there now. I still have my freedom.
You're my hero. Know? That's exactly the way I would think of it too. The further away from people sometimes, the better I like it.
Exactly. So now I know I'm not going to have that, you know, I'm still going to have my freedom of the country.
Sure. And I remember, you know, in past podcasts, we, you know, I'm not going to drudge it all up, but something that I never thought about, you know, this land that they use has been used continuously year in, year out for a couple hundred years. And this lets that land rest.
It does let it rest. And it also gives it an opportunity for some other agrovoltaics as well. You know, I see something as planting wildflowers there and bringing pollinators that are free from pesticides and herbicides, or bringing in sheep and letting them graze in there.
And the bees.
Exactly. And the bees. And we can have all kinds of different options, you know. We have setbacks on all these. We can plant fruit trees or berry bushes or anything in these setback areas.
Yeah.
But giving the land a break is always a good thing.
Yeah. And that's something me not coming from a farming background, I never even thought of, that the ground is, it gets used up and there's no insecticides being sprayed for 40 years, right?
Exactly.
All the other chemicals that go along with farming, none of that. So, there's a lot of benefits.
But the biggest thing too is erosion. We're going to have something in there that's planted. We're not going to be plowing fields, disking fields. We're not going to have wind erosion or water erosion, et cetera, et cetera.
So where are we at with this project at this point? What's the next step?
So it's in the middle of construction right now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, they're up there working as we speak.
Wow.
I know they have a target day to finish in the end of this year, first part of next year.
Wow.
So it's really moving forward.
Wow. I didn't realize that. Well, I'm a dum-dum. I didn't realize we were that far along with this.
Yeah.
So you really do see the impact.
Yeah. Well, there's an impact for sure.
That's fantastic. Anything you wanted to throw in there?
I guess a couple of the things I'd throw in there, above and beyond all the agreements, the host agreement, the pilot agreement, we also are required to have road use agreement and road use plan. So there's dedicated roads that they're allowed to use, and there's money set aside to repair them if need be.
Okay.
So that ain't going to fall back, that's not going to fall back on the taxpayers. If this road gets a little beat up from the truck traffic, is there to fix that road. And it's that insurance doesn't come from the local taxpayers. It comes from the developer.
So I'm assuming that's come up in a meeting or something. I just want to set that point.
It's come up in meetings, and there's actually road use agreements and bonds in place and everything else there to cover those.
Okay.
I know here it's 10.7 miles is what's in the road use plan.
Okay.
And then there's a bond out there for over $1 million to cover that 10.7 miles. So everything's protected there.
Nice.
Some people think, the burden the town's going to have of dealing with the construction of this project, but all the safeguards are in place to cover all those burdens.
Yeah, you're dealing with a company that has done this over and over and over again. And they really, it's amazing to me the thought that's gone into all of it. Like every single thing that you can think of has already been thought of, and there's been a plan put in place to deal.
Yeah, and that is true.
Anything else you wanted? I know you said you had a couple things.
I think that's about it right there. The road use plan, and hopefully we can get some agrivoltaics going with this project at some point and keep it moving forward and make sure our growth keeps happening.
Well, cool. So what about your consulting group? You want to get a plug in for them?
We're doing this all the time. The biggest, I guess, to say what my consulting company's motto is to make sure that our first responders and our firefighters have the equipment needed for every situation. And that's what this project's helping do.
Wow.
We talk about the electric need. That goes up every day. We've got new Tesla cars on the road, new electric vehicles. Yeah. We have solar going on roofs of houses, all kinds of new technology that takes new equipment. We got to make sure that we're prepared for those situations.
Well, on that note, it doesn't get better than an electric car being charged by solar power. Really, that's the goal. I to get to that point is down the road, but it's one step at a time, and this is just one of them.
And the electric car is here already.
Yeah.
It's already here, so now we need to figure out, okay, what could happen with this electric car, and how do we deal with that?
Right.
So let's deal with it, and let's make sure everyone's prepared to deal with it. Let's keep up with technology.
Let's do it, Sean. Well, hey, thanks a lot for doing the podcast. And you know what? We'll probably be in touch again.
Sounds good. It was a pleasure, Mark.
All right, my friend. Talk soon. So